What is up, POD heads?
Oh, there you go.
See what I did there? See what I did there, Twan?
I saw it, and everyone listening saw you, what you did there, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. We're back with another episode of the Potty of Slate podcast. My name is Tony. I'm always joined by Anthony. We just had a phenomenal conversation with Sonny of POD, hence the POD heads. And yeah, man, really, what an amazing, amazing dude.
Oh, he was great. He was great. I was thinking about this, like he's one of those kind of final boss type of interviews for us. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, kind of always on our wish list. And then when we found out we had an opportunity for it, we're like, yeah, we need to make it happen. And between the legacy, still creating music, live shows still being great, man, I don't know. There's very few bands doing it at their level. And I'm not saying that. Yeah, for that long. And I'm not saying that just because we interviewed them. It's like, no, 30 plus years. Their 11th album is coming out soon. I don't know. Go down your list. Go down your list of your favorite band. I don't think they hit those marks.
Not a lot of them. And it's funny because we had first heard that POD was putting a record out in 2024, probably months ago, right? I mean, last fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were both like, oh, man, if there's even a chance we get somebody like Sonny, we have to try. And, absolutely. You know, time, we flip the calendar the next day, finally, there's a chance. We're like, all right, we got to jump on this. We got to do this right now. And, you know, worked out. Sonny was amazing. The record Veritas comes out on May 3rd on Mascot Records. It's really, really good. If you haven't heard any of it yet, go check out the singles. I'm not sure when this is dropping. It's probably before the record drops, but mark your calendar. Put that on the old calendar or in your phone reminder. Go listen to that record because it's really good. It's POD, you know, right in their bag.
Totally. It's funny. It's like POD in their bag, but then there's range, right? There's, you know, the single Drop is out, like that certainly has an edge to it. Another single, Lies We Tell Ourselves, that does not have an edge. It's a different take for them, but it's still them. And I don't know, they're one of the few bands that can weave all these sounds and still have it be them. And at the end of the day, like, that's what makes them them. It's admirable. And I don't know, not many bands can pull it off.
Yeah, definitely not. The way they do, as long as they have the positivity surrounding them, like, really, really cool stuff. So yeah, let's dig into this right now with Sonny from POD.
Where are you guys out of?
Southern Maine. Maine.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
Yep.
Nice, man.
Yeah. No, it's exciting to have you on. We're both, we prepped last night and we're both really like, holy shit. We get to talk to you.
Oh, thank you.
We've been listening to you for 25 years. We get to talk to you tomorrow. That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, man. Like we go back to obviously hearing Southtown in high school and then seeing you at our kind of arena in Portland, Maine. In 2002, mm-hmm. with System of a Down and Meshuggah, and
that's right.
That was so good. That show was, man. Do you incredible. Remember that show?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That was Ozfest time. Yeah.
Yep. It was exactly, yeah, and that would happen quite a bit in that era. It'd be a regional breakout for an off day.
Yeah, I think it was off day of Ozfest. Yeah, that's awesome, man. My daughter was only 2 at the time, and so whenever my wife would watch us, she'd hold her, or we go see Meshuggah. She had the big headphones. Meshuggah would always put my daughter to sleep. Yeah. Nice. So to this day, she still digs Meshuggah.
That's awesome. You tell her that you're like, hey, you've been listening to them, falling asleep to them for 25 years.
Oh yeah, yeah. She knows. Once you put any kid on, you know, under those big old gun muffs or whatever, they're out, dude.
I love that, man. 30 plus years in the game. And we were not there for all of it. We came in the fundamental days. We were just hooked, man. Like Tony said, here in Southtown and Zao, Jersey, No Innocent Victim shirt. I'm like, these guys, like the album bangs. But man, there's an edge to these guys. It was in the fact that it was on the platform that it was on. It's like, it just, it happened, but not often in that era.
Yeah. I mean, we came from that underground, you know, we didn't know we were going to sign to a major label and do all that stuff that we did. We were just working and playing, you know, and because of our faith and stuff, we found similar bands that were, you know, like the Zales of the world, you know, the NIVs, and we were like-minded, you know what I mean? We were guys of faith, but we loved the music and the scene, and we were in a scene where you were allowed to say what you want to say. And that was hardcore music. You know, it wasn't until we kind of got into the metal world and the secular metal world that you, it was like, you know, you either like this or you hate this. You know what I mean? And a lot of it had to do, not even with the music, it had to do with, well, they don't really belong in this, in this world, in this metal world. And so we've always kind of fought through that. And little did they know we were fighting on the other side too, you know, that whatever the Christian industry or whatever that world was, we weren't accepted there either. So it was never like we had something to fall back on, you know, or those guys are marketing their faith. It was like, it didn't work that way. And it wasn't, we were just trying to be a great band, you know, in the regular world. But once you have the stigma of like, oh, I heard they're kind of a Christian band, that doesn't help you, you know, it makes you unpopular, especially in the metal world, you know. But if we were doing reggae music or country or R&B, you know, whatever, no one would bat an eye. But because we're in metal, it was like, I don't know if that really fits here. Now it's a little different, you know, but I think we were allowed to break down those stereotypes and say, no, those guys kick ass. You know what I mean? It's not, had nothing to do with whether they're of faith or not. It's just, they're a good band.
Yeah. I mean, the proof is in the pudding with that, right? I mean, you've been doing it for 30 plus years. You lived in a bunch of different worlds musically. The live show continues to kick ass. I know Anthony saw you 5 years ago in Portland. What keeps you guys coming back to doing this, putting new records out, hitting the road, all that stuff, 30 plus years in?
I mean, I think we just feel it's a blessing to be able to keep doing it. The older we get, you know, the fact that we still have a fan base around the world is that we can, you know what I mean? And we do it for the love, you know, but I still feel like we're putting out relevant music, music that's still speaking to people. And until that stops, then we can still keep doing this, you know. But the moment it doesn't mean anything anymore, then it's time to wrap it up. You know, it could have been done for me a long time ago. You know, I could have said, oh, dude, I'm tired. I'm getting old. My family's getting old, you know, or I miss being home. But, you know, every time I would complain about whatever to myself, you know, here I am backstage or, you know, walking back to the bus and, you know, you meet those people that are like, man, your music changed my life. And you know, I was gonna, you know, I had a gun in my mouth, you know, and then Alive came on the radio. And that's not like once, it happens every show. Every show there's some story that just floors me. And then it's like, oh man, all right, I better find the gas to keep going, you know, because this music means something. So it's like, all right, but it's also confirmation to me that, all right, well, let's keep going a little bit.
Yeah, so there's two things working there. You still love it, and the fans still love it. And for bands that call it quits before 30 years, one of those two generally gives. It's you know, you lose your love for it, or, you know, the fans fall off for whatever reason. You know, there's bands that are still making banger albums that they don't draw like they used to.
Yeah, and we're in that category too. For it's kind of a mystery, you know what I mean? For as many records as we sold, and you know, we're still grinding, and that makes no sense, you know. We're grinding, our you know, we're still killing it live. I mean, you put us in front of like a huge crowd, it's undeniable. But then for some reason, we always feel like we're fighting for our position. You know, we go do these festivals, and then you see these bands and they're headlining over us. And it's like, this makes no sense. They sold two records. They only have two records out. You know what I mean? And for whatever the politics are, they're there, you know? And then now it's like, there's so many gimmicks, and there is so many label politics and music industry politics. And you're like, I've never even heard of that band, but they blew up on TikTok yesterday. So now they're headlining over you. And it's just, and they're getting paid more than you. It's like, because we've been proving ourselves for 32 years. And then you figure once you got to the highest part of the mountain, it's like, oh, cool, we don't have to prove ourselves anymore. And then here we are, you know, we're still, but whatever. Like I said, you know, we're going to be touring, you know, the whole next 2 years. We're going over to Europe, and then we'll be going down to South America. So when we're still able to do that, we look back and say, hey, you know, we're blessed, you know, but. Just at some point, I hope that all this Spotify and streaming, and they figure all how to pay the artists back, and then it won't matter anymore. But when you're hustling and trying to pay your bills and put your kids through college, it's like, we've been doing this for 32 years, you know, we're working paycheck to paycheck here, over here. What's going on?
Right. And it's not like, yeah, it's not like you're still grinding 1993 playing small venues. Like, you're playing Welcome to Rockville. You're playing Loud of the Life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy. It's crazy. So,
whatever, you know, but I guess that's why we keep doing it, because we still love it.
Yeah. Did you, back then, did you see yourself still doing it today?
I mean, we never said never. It was just more, we'll see how it goes. You know, I guess I think I always kind of live my life that way. You know, it's not, you know, 2 years down the line, 5 years, 10 years. It's just like, we're always in the moment. But we never thought we'd leave San Diego. So it does, everything on top of that was a, you know, was a bonus. Right. You know, we never thought we'd quit our job, you know, way back in 96, you know, once we started, because we were taking our summers, not summers off of our work vacation time, in the summers, and then we'd go and do our own thing. And then after a few years of that, it's like we were able to start getting booked throughout the entire year. And we were still independent then, you know? And so we all looked at each other and made a decision like, dude, can we do this? Are we going to try? You know, and we just felt like there was something there. So, you know, in 96, we all quit our jobs, you know, security, and we all went for it. And I guess we took a chance, you know, so we got lucky that it panned out.
Was there a band early on that you either became friends with or toured with where you saw their live show and they're like, you were like, shit, that's how you do it? Like, even if it's down to stage presence or interaction with the crowd, was there like a older sibling band that was super influential for you guys?
I mean, we came from that underground scene, you know, so it was more for us being old school. It was, I remember watching, you know, like old VHS tapes, you know, like copies of originals of like Bad Brains, you know, CBGBs and stuff like that. And even in that, just that era alone, you know, and it was like, see, this is real. This is real music right here. This is butt rock music. You know what I mean? And yeah. I got into grunge. Actually, I remember watching, I saw a video of the Nirvana's Teen Spirit. And the only reason why, it's not like I heard it and said, oh, this is banging. I saw in the video, in the crowd on the bleachers or whatever, it panned through the crowd and there was a guy with a Bad Brain shirt. And that's what made me actually watch it. And I said, I like, you know, it made me listen to the whole song, watch the whole video. And I was like, hey, I like these guys, because they weren't butt rock, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I was like, totally. They look like normal dudes, and may, you know, Seattle might not be my hood, but at least they're Seattle. At least they're authentic, and that's how I thought about, you know, the Bad Brains. Is that's what drew me into even punk rock music, was that it was four guys of color, to me, doing this English white music punk rock. You know what I mean? And yeah. I didn't know any better, but same thing with Suicidal Tendencies. Okay, well, there's a Mexican dude singing, there's a black dude on guitar. You know what I mean?
That's so, and
I'm
sick,
like,
yeah.
And they're from Venice Beach. I'm like, okay, similar. And I'm like, what do they know that I don't know? And so it was like, okay, let's dive into this a little bit. And then once you realize that it really was a lifestyle and it was a scene, it just kind of drew me into that, you know?
Well, then you work with HR on Satellite too. Like, that's a full circle moment.
Yeah, that was... We had actually opened up for him, not Bad Brains, in San Diego. It was the World Beat Center. We had helped, you know, kind of clean it all up and remodel it. And then they would throw shows, and HR came through. And even at that point, I mean, it was legendary for us. You know, he wasn't doing Bad Brains at the time. And then he showed up and his band wasn't there. And so he had asked us to, hey, if my band doesn't show up, you guys think you could back me up? And we're like, Bad Brains tunes? And he's like, no, I don't do that anymore. You know, and we're like, how are we gonna back him up? We're just gonna play reggae, you know? With one drop bass lines all night, you know what I mean? Skank it and let him freestyle for an hour and a half. And so we were prepared to do that, but then, you know, his band did show up, and so it was cool. And ever since, you know, I call him Uncle H, you know, he's just been,
it's amazing.
Yeah, he's a living legend.
So we're on the eve of your 11th full length, right? What has changed for you as far as creating goes? Are you doing things, anything different that you know you're doing different, or is there anything that you've like, no, we're keeping that the same, that's worked every time?
I mean, we're old school, so that makes us, you know, very stubborn, you know? So I think with the last record, you know, we brought in these two younger producers and stuff, and we basically we kept them at arm's length. You know, we just want them to produce. It's like, we want you to come in, you know, when 95% of the record's done, and add a couple bells and whistles, you know what I mean? And we'll get the mixing and mastering. But we used the same guys this time. And the only thing that was different was, you know, it was through the whole COVID period. And, you know, Trey had left to Nashville, our bass player, right before COVID. There was a lot of stuff going on internally with the band. And so it wasn't like we were wanting to sit in a room and write a record, you know, but that's how we do it. We're old school. We sit in a room and we write a record. Whereas now, or for a while now with technology, these guys aren't even, they all live in different states, countries. They send over MP3s.
Oh, yeah.
And half the time they're not even playing it. They'll just have studio musicians play it and they'll play it live, you know? So it was Marcus and I going back and forth to LA, you know, for day runs, maybe once a month, if that. And it was just him and I really just laying with the producers and laying down a riff, a guitar, maybe a vocal line or something. And nowadays, because of technology, and you have to accept it and say, you know what, hey, let's do it. And we were kind of forced to accept it because it was just us. You know, it's not like we can get in there and play the drums and do all this stuff. It was just like, now you can build drums right on your laptop. You can add loops and format it to just keep the backbeat or whatever. Add a bass line and you're pretty much 80% done with the song, you know? So it was different for us, and we had to be willing to do that. And after the result, it's like, there's nothing going to stop us from doing that again, because we're more than happy with the results of this record. And this could be one of the, you know, best records we've written.
And the thing is the way things move so fast, you're almost forced to adapt. Otherwise, like this isn't the San Diego garage. You know what I mean? It's not playing in a garage. You know what I mean? If you stayed there, then, man,
you have to. And a lot of times in a lot of areas, you know, but even at the end of that record, because they had all the fake drums on there, and we've heard the songs, you know, a million times at this point. And then I finally asked the producers, hey, when are we going to go in and, you know, and lay down the real drums? And they're like, why? Because they're you know, they come from the alternative world, the pop world, but even in the metal world, you guys are listening to records right now that they aren't even real drums, but you wouldn't know the difference.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? Because the sound and everything is the same. And now that's what, you know, teenagers and 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds expect. And so when you listen to these new records, it's so mechanical, and you're like, you have no idea that that's not even, no one's playing that. You know, that's AI drums, you know. But for us, those are things we won't budge on. You know what I mean? And you can, when you hear it, you hear the tone and you hear the warmth of it, because it was in a real studio. It is real drums. And so, but unfortunately, some kids might not like that. You know, we're so busy, like, no, dude, trying to convince the dude, no, we want to get these Led Zeppelin sounding drums. And a 15-year-old kid is like, who's Led Zeppelin? You know, I don't
That's
know.
So true.
I can care less, you know. And then we listen to what they're listening to, and you were like, that's garbage.
Right.
You know, it's that's garbage, dude. There's no humanity in it. You know what I mean? There's no life in that. But these kids are like, nah, dude, these drums are killer. And it's like, well, they're AI drums. You don't even know that. But so there's certain things we won't budge on, but it's what it is, you know?
Yeah, wait till you go see that live. It's not going to sound the same. There's no way.
Well, it is, because they're playing the tracks.
That's true. Good point.
I mean, they're everything now. Before, at least, you know, there's stuff. At least the drums weren't on tracks. You know what I mean? Like, now I watch these sound checks and you're like, dude, the kick and their everything, it's on track, you know? But like you said, we've had to conform to that, you know, and just in the last year, we've had to conform to, because we've always added that production, but, you know, we've always had a keyboard player and we've always done it ourselves, but sometimes that can't happen. You know, there's been so many. Our backup guy, couldn't make the trip to Europe or couldn't do whatever. And it's like, so then makes us even more raw. And we have no problem being raw. That's who we are. We just kind of plug in and play. But now we're at a point where since everybody sounds perfect, we just sound extremely raw now. And to the concert goer, you know, when they're like, oh man, it's just that concert sounded just like the record. It's like, oh, it's because it is. You have no idea what's going on. 90% of it is they're not even playing. But to the concert goer, we're sitting in the back being like, this is lame. Like, this is, right. But then the concert goer is like, yeah, they're buying tickets left and right. And then when POD goes and does a headline, it's like, yeah, they're kind of too punk rock and hardcore for me. It's like, what they're really saying is like, no, we're too real for you. But at some point you have to like, hey, okay. Yeah.
And that's the reality. It's like, you nail it. Like there is a, and I'll call it the TikTok generation, you know, 25 mm-hmm. and under. That generation doesn't know any different. Like you said, no. Led Zeppelin, who's Led Zeppelin? You know, they hear backing tracks in a live show. A lot of, what's the term? Stage magic?
Yeah.
tour magic.
That's great.
But that's all they know. You know what I mean? And it's
and you can't fault them, you know?
Exactly. Just, that's where I was going to go with it.
Yeah. It sucks, but. Yeah, you know, but yeah. then I feel like I'm the old guy that's like, oh, back in my day, right? And we hated that, you know.
Yeah. We feel you there, man. We are in the same boat with that. So yeah, 11th record, Veritas, out on May 3rd on Mascot Records, right?
Yeah.
So we've listened to it. We love it. We've both listened to it. I want to say I'm 5 or 6 times at this point. I don't know how many times you listened to it, Anthony.
Man. Maybe 10. Right, maybe on. Like maybe 10. Yeah.
Nice, man. It's the whole thing. You guys got the whole thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whole thing. And the sad thing is those streams don't count. They don't.
I know. Don't worry. We'll pre-save.
We just lost that on 20 streams right now.
I know,
now.
Right?
Yeah. You lost it on a dollar.
Yeah. Venmo you a buck.
Yeah, no, we don't get, you can Venmo me because we don't get paid from those anyway.
Yeah. But damn, dude, it's awesome. You know, right from the jump with Randy there from Lamb God, that first track, that gives you, like, this is, we're coming at you guys. This is the record. Like, are you ready?
Awesome. Get ready. Yeah, that's the intention. Especially with Randy, that was the intention. It was more to, you know, it's just, I think people are like, Randy's on POD's record? Like, that's interesting, you know? And then they hear it, and it's like, yeah, man.
When did that relationship start with Randy?
I mean, I wish I could say, you know, 10, 15 years ago, but because we've been playing shows and festivals forever, you know, radio shows, all this stuff. But it really wasn't until, I want to say, 2022 on Shiprocked. We all did the, you know, the rock and roll cruise together, and he was on there. And, you know, speaking of HR, I had worked it out so that HR can get on the ship and do some songs with us and some other bands. And Randy's very close with H as well. And just Randy's just a sweetheart, you know. Once we all started talking and hanging out, it was like, you know, I think we played a set on the beach at one of the islands, and then all of a sudden we're playing, you know, beautiful day, water in the background, and we look around and Randy's there snapping pictures, and here we are playing. We're like, oh, nice, right? It just, from there, you know, we just fell in love with the guy and kept in touch with him. I was always intrigued by his story, you know, read his book. And then when we were doing this song, it wasn't like we wrote it with Randy in mind, but, you know, because of, we know that he's not just a metal guy. He's a huge Bad Brains fan. He's, you know, Bauhaus. He's in a new wave, all this kind of stuff from, you know, our generation. And then I just texted him and I said, hey, do we have a song, man, if you would be interested in it? And he just said, send it to me. And then all of a sudden he texts me back. He's like, I'm in. So, you know, it's just, and it shows, I don't know, it just shows another side of him too. I mean, he's doing what he does. That's why we wanted it. But, you know, it's like he can feature on anything, you know?
Totally. Yeah, and like that sets the tone. Then you get into I Got That and then Afraid to Die. And Afraid to Die, to me, I remember first listening to that because that was one of the singles. And I'm like, this is the POD I fell in love with. You know, like this is, it has that feel from a fan perspective. And I know like Marcos in interviews and stuff, he said that there was a, you know, you guys wanted to go back to basics with this one. So was that intentional to try to maybe go heavier or go any certain direction?
I don't think anything's ever intentional. I mean, we're always mindful of stuff, but because we were going back and forth to LA, we were just really kind of piecing song by song by song. And then by the time we finished the record, you know, someone even, you know, I think I played it for the homies and they were like, no, you guys aren't doing any reggae tunes, any like punk tunes. And then we didn't even realize that, you know, because they're just used to those POD flavors. And there's, you know, there's dabbles, but this record is pretty much straight through just rocking, you know, and it's heavy, you know, and it's in all of its different fashions. And, but it was never intentional. You know, I think what you're hearing on Afraid to Die is just more that anthemic kind of side of POD where that chorus just became huge. And even when we first did it and laid down the idea, I remember driving home from LA and I was like, dude, I dig this vibe, you know. And then once we ganged up the vocals and then, you know, we added Tatiana on it because we wanted that female element, because we're saying we, you know what I mean? And then not only that, at the time we did it was the whole Ukraine Russia thing. So it was kind of this, I don't know, it had a spirit to it, you know. And so we just knew this was going to be huge. And it's one of those songs, you know. It's just, yeah, it's huge. And we just got back from England. We only played 3 shows, but it was the first time we had ever played that live. And, you know, it's always kind of some reservation when you play live tunes, but for whatever short time that it's been out on streaming and the video, the whole crowd was singing. It almost felt like it was in our set forever, just like a Youth of the Nation or something, you know, the whole crowd was singing. It was like, this is crazy.
That's great that crowds are already taken to that, or it's only been out for a very short amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good feeling.
It means you're doing something right, right? Yeah. When you get everybody going. And clearly you are. I mean, you're still doing it after all these years. But one of the songs that kind of struck us both in listening and getting ready to talk to you was Lies We Tell Ourselves. Feels like a little bit of a departure for you guys, but at the same time, holy POD. And hey, you get to flex vocals a little bit, which we kind of love.
Yeah, interesting. I think I haven't done this in a while where it's been a while, man. I would even say forever, like where I've actually came in and maybe even since our independent records, that's how long it's been, where I came in and I already had the chorus and I just said, hey, let me jump on the mic and let me sing my idea for you. Right. We'll map it out. We'll set the tempo. And that was the one song on the record. And in a long time, like I said, that we worked around that hook. And then, you know, Mark was just like that. And we just started building and creating from that chorus. And then all of a sudden we started switching and changing up stuff. And then, you know, then like, oh dude, we got kind of this Weezer, you know, I mean, kind of even a Green Day-ish kind of, because it's just very kind of simple chugging through. And it was like, at first, I don't know if that's us. But then the more and more you listen to it, not that it wasn't us, it was just such a kind of a cut and paste smash of feel. But then after listening to it, it was like, nah, man, I love it, you know, and it worked. And yeah, I mean, I think when you hear that right off the bat, the response, we only put it out, not even 2 weeks ago. And I'm still getting texts every day and people, you know, DMs like, man, I'm digging this song. I have it on replay. And I'm like, nice, you know?
Well, I don't. We've talked with a ton of bands over the years, and some band members are split on this. I don't know if you're one that reads comments on stuff, but if you go to the YouTube video of the music video, all the comments are positive. All of them.
Oh, nice.
I read them. I read every one of them, and they're all very positive. Yeah.
That's great, man. I don't, there's a slight chance that I might read something, but I don't take it for... I mean, sometimes I do. If someone gets up there and they want to be all keyboard gangster about it, there's times where if I'm being honest, there's times where I've hit guys up on the side and I'm like, hey, dude, you know, I'm like, you know, when I'm coming to town, I don't know where you're at. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's like, if you got something to say, then say it. But then there's times where I'll write it just to write it out and then I'll delete it because it's nonsense. But you know, it really has to strike a nerve where it's like, bro, come on, man. Like this is ridiculous, but it is what it is. It's not going to phase me either way. So there's no sense in even writing horrible comments.
Totally. And that's the way to be.
A lot of times it has nothing to do with the song. You know what I mean? Like, It's like you're just talking about something that you think is personal to me that it's not even personal to me, so I can care less. But
yeah,
you think you know us, so I guess that's okay. But it is what it is. I'm glad that it's positive.
Yeah, well, on the internet sucks for the most part. I mean, there's just so many people out there trying to bring other people down. But when you get, you know, almost universal approval on a YouTube, that's pretty awesome, because that does not happen. Hey, man.
And I'm gonna take that as a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is a song you mentioned with Afraid to Die. It has that anthemic, almost like choir, you know, really the POD sound. Well, it's a song near the end of the album. It hasn't come out yet. So if you're listening to this, stay tuned for it. We Are One, Our Struggle. Oh, dude, that song, it just, man, it's got that, like, the gang vocals, the gang choir anthemic vibe to it. And I don't know, I found myself just going to that song. I'm like, I want to hear that again. I want to hear it again. Sick. Hear it again. Does that one stick out to you guys?
I mean, I love hearing everybody's, you know, because again, no one's heard the whole record. So this kind of feedback, I'm loving. The bunch of my buddies that I've showed there, dude, that's the track. You know what I mean? They're like huge wrestling fans. And I guess they even told me that one of the teams, the Usos or whatever, some, you know, they have kind of the same saying, and it's like how it would fit with this whole like WWE theme. And I'm like, sick, you know what I mean? But for us, that song was more like, it's just kind of that, from that hardcore school that we come from. You know, if you look at any type of hardcore album, there's already songs that said, you know, this is our struggle, or it's called struggle.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just that kind of, you know, that vibe. But I dig that song. I dig the verses, you know, it's kind of got that, that's where you feel me doing that kind of reggae throwback, you know, back and forth. But the chorus is huge. It's, again, like you said, very gang vocal, very like, we are one together. And it's just, yeah, very hardcore-esque, but yeah, I'm hoping people really dig that tune.
People will like that too. That's one. Is that one you're thinking about playing live once the record drops?
I mean, we love to play everything live, you know. I think going into this next tour in April and May and June, we'll probably play the songs that people know, you know, or we're trying to figure it out, because we might do some acoustic stuff on the side. So maybe Lies We Tell Ourselves can fall into the acoustic category. Who knows? But I know we've played I Got That live already. And that's, once that hits, it's so sludgy, you know what I mean? And if people are like, oh, dude, this is cool. But yeah. Definitely that song we play. I think we play every song on this record.
Yeah, no, I could totally hear that. And like, you've got so many songs, so putting the set list together has got to be daunting as hell. Like, I just can't imagine.
It sucks sometimes, you know, because everybody wants, you never know what people want, you know. And a lot of times when we're playing, you know, these metal fests, or we, you know, you go on tour with like a Korn or something, you know, it's like we can't play our ballad. Or at least in our minds, we think we can't. But then you go out front and you come up with some guy who's 300 pounds, all muscle, 6'5", you know, freaking military, you know what I mean? Navy SEAL. And he's like, why don't you guys play Beautiful? You know, it's like, because it's a metal show, dude. You know, I'm sorry. You know, or they want Goodbye For Now, or they, you know, they want something more on the soft side. And it's like, what a trip. So you never know. But you know, it's hard to pick, you know, because if you don't play something, people, you have to play the ones people know. And for us, fortunately, I mean, we have a lot of songs that people know. So, you know, we always worry that we're playing the songs differently. Like you said, there are certain songs that you have to play.
Well, there's like the songs from this album fit perfectly in the catalog. Like I'm listening to the album and I'm like, it's got that POD swag. It's got that POD swag that like 14-year-old suburban white nerd in the late 90s was like, that's a swag. I need more of that in my life. I need more. And it's still there. And a lot of it's, I mean, it's your vocal delivery. It's your, man, you get that style, man. You got it.
Thanks, man. I always tell people, like, I never grew up as a kid saying, oh, I'm going to be in a band one day. I never practiced singing or did anything like that. It was, and to this day, I always tell people, I'm not a singer, you know. I just fell into this because of passion, you know, and my story behind it. But I just kind of learn as I go, and I still don't think of myself as a singer. It's just more of a style thing where, like, how can I make, you know, I can't go in there and I'm not you know, Justin Bieber or whatever, you know, whatever, or whoever. Like, I'm not going to go in there and sing, you know, this angelic vocals. It's just like, all I could do is make it my style, you know. And I kind of think of like a Anthony Kiedis or something like that, where it's like, not like he has the greatest voice ever. And that's how I think of myself, but he's Anthony Kiedis. You know, when you hear it, you're like, oh, dude, that's Anthony Kiedis of the Chili Peppers, because he's unapologetically himself in that. And that's all I can do with me too, you know?
Well, you do that and it works, man. I mean,
thanks, man.
We were texting this morning. We have a third host who couldn't be here today, but he lives in your neck of the woods, and he was like, I'm at the gym, I'm listening to Satellite right now, just being excited for you guys. And I was like, I'm on my way to the dump, but I'm also listening to Satellite. It's amazing that this happened right now. So
that's so cool. That's so cool, man.
We were just vibing, man. Vibing from coast to coast. So
yeah, that's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Most bands don't put out 11 albums. Most bands don't last 30 years. And right. The ones that do last, a lot of those like later albums suck. Completely suck.
Right.
This doesn't. So it just doesn't.
Oh, thank you.
And like, you guys could be just living off the back catalog. It could be, but you're not. Right. And I think a proof of that is like just the shows and the tours. I know you guys are going out with Bad Wolves, Norma Jean, Blind Channel. So there's like huge range. While like none of them sound like you guys, it makes sense that you would take out bands of that range.
100%, man. For us, you know, like we're a blue collar touring band. We're grinding, we're working, but we want it to be a package show. You know what I mean? We don't want it to always be the same, you know. And there's Bad Wolves fans that's gonna say, oh dude, I can't wait to see POD, you know. Norma Jean, we've been fans of forever. You know, we've done shows together, and it's just showing a different, it's just a variety of styles, you know. The Blind Channel guys, same thing. I wasn't familiar with them, but I heard they're like huge in Europe, you know, and they're trying to cross over to the States. And then when you line it up from, you know, first to second all the way to fourth, it's like, no, it's a good night of music, you know. And so hopefully, yeah, we'll get people out there on this tour.
Yeah, and it starts April 26th, goes to June 2nd, playing Rockville in there, playing the So What Fest at the end of it. And then you've got Upheaval, Louder Than Life, and Aftershock later this year. So you guys are going to be busy the rest of the year.
Yeah. Every record comes 2 years of touring. You know, I think that you said that So What Festival in Dallas is June 2nd. And then we literally come home for like 3-4 days. We'll be packing and we head straight over to Europe, where our first show is on June 9th in Milan, and we'll be there for a month. So we're ready for it. You know what I mean? COVID was a scary time, you know, where it was like, we didn't know if we'd ever be doing this again, you know? So another reason to count our blessings and, you know, we're going to be busy.
Well, you said earlier with some of these festivals, you guys feel like the old guys. I'll say this, you don't look like the old guys. I don't know what's going on there, but man, you guys don't look it. So I'm curious, as you've gotten older, like, has anything changed tour-wise? Like, do you have to prep more, like, vocally or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, I never even started warming up until, like, you know, 10 years ago, you know? Like, shit, it's just, I didn't know any better, man. We're used to playing, you know, whatever, 25 shows in a month, you know, on tour. And it's like, I'm used to like, oh, my throat goes, my voice goes out, give it to the crowd, you know? But now it's just different, you know? So you have to prepare for that, you know? I think it was our first show when we were in England, in Manchester, and during Southtown, you know, it's like, I just felt something pop in my knee. And I was like, oh no, you know, but and I just knew once the adrenaline wears down, I'm screwed, you know. So even that, but that whole day, then we get to London, I got iced my knee, I got it wrapped, I could barely even walk. And as it would have it, you know, it's like right before we play, everybody's like, dude, are you gonna be able to do it? And I'm like, I feel okay, man. I think, I don't know if it's just that adrenaline kicking in, you know. I did have a few people pray for me, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. There's, you know, 9,000 people in this arena. I'm like, all right, we could do this. And then people are like, bro, I thought you messed your knee up. You know, I'm like, for whatever reason, bro, I'm healed. It's a miracle, you know. But it's just, it's a little tougher these days. But you know, we just keep going for it.
Well, you're almost like it, especially on tour. You're an athlete, right? It's every day. You got to go. You're a baseball player, essentially. You got to get out there. You're gonna have to run. You're gonna have to move on stage. Yeah. That knee can't be all swollen. You can't be limping up and down. Like, people are gonna be like, "What happened to Sonny? Like, what's going on?"
I can't be doing that. It's like I actually lose weight on tour because of, you know, I'm playing every day. It's like you get an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes cardio every day. You know, I'm a snob when it comes to food, so I don't eat, you know, like whatever's across the street from the bus, you know. So I come home and I'm like, man, that losing weight. And then I get home and I start making my own meals and cooking with the family. It's like, oh, forget about it.
So like we said, like technology's changed, you know, you got to take better care of your body. What hasn't changed with you guys over the years?
I mean, I think
I can give you my perspective.
Okay, let's hear it.
Your ethos, your whole approach, the positivity, like it's refreshing.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. So I want to hear your answer. I cut you off.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that would be number one, and then obviously right alongside with it is just is our appreciation and our gratefulness to keep doing this. You know, for us to like you said, 11 records. You know, there's bands that are headlining arenas and festivals, and they don't have records out. You know, they're just great by themselves, I guess. You know, and great with their old stuff. But we want to leave a legacy behind. You know, I think we are one of those groups where even now, if no one's paying attention, you know, when I have grandkids and that generation's coming up, they're going to discover a POD, and I'm glad that they're, hopefully by that time they'll have 15 records to discover, you know, and they're going to say, dude, these guys were sick. You know what I mean? And maybe inspire, you know, maybe inspire that generation. So we're always working hard, and we appreciate every chance we get. And because of COVID, you know, we can't believe that we have these tours. If I'm just being honest, it's like, man, here we are. We, you know, even going to England a couple of weeks ago, and it was a quick 3-day show. It was so fast, but it was like, you know, we get off that stage and we look at each other and we're like, dude, we just rock London again, man. We're grateful, you know, and some people take that for granted. They're just so spoiled with it. They're so used to it. They have money in the bank and, you know, they're great performers. They get up stage on stage and they can get through it, and it just doesn't have the same meaning to them. It's work. For us, this isn't not work. You know what I mean? We're like, even as much as you have to do and whatever, there's work that goes into it. But when we get up there, we look at each other and we're like, dude, we have the honor and privilege of playing together on this stage. And so like, this could be the last time. Let's go have fun.
That's just a great way to look at it all, especially, you know, 32 plus years in, 11 records in, you guys being able to continue to do it at a high level. It's not easy to be that, you know, prolific and be around that long and do all that, man. So, you know, kudos to you guys for having the right mindset too.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. We're trying.
Still bringing it live. Yeah. It was that, it was the Nonpoint Islander tour maybe in Portland. Okay. Yeah. 19. Maybe 5. Yeah. 19. Yeah. In Portland.
Yeah.
And, you were vibing, man. You still got it, my friend. You still got it. Because it had been at that point 15 years between, probably 15 years between seeing you guys, and nothing changed.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel my age during the day, but then there's something about music, you know, once we start playing, man, I'm telling you, it's just, it really is. That's the magic, you know. It's just the fact that you get to play and we're super excited and something kicks in. And it's funny because after I messed up my knee in England, Marco's like, you know, you don't have to go that hard, right, dude? Like, take it easy, man. I'm like, how can I take it easy, bro? Like, you know, we crank up and play. Like, dude, this is what we do, you know. It's like I couldn't stay still if I wanted to, man. It's kind of like you just get excited and the adrenaline kicks in and you just go nuts.
Well, second leg of the tour, when you guys announced that, maybe in the fall, Portland, Maine, you know, just saying, we'll be there. We'll be in the front row. Saying, hey,
awesome, Sonny, bro. Yeah. We got to get up to the Northeast for sure, man.
Hell yeah.
So Sonny, our, like you said, our third host, he couldn't make this. He didn't have a question for you, but he wanted us to relay that in the Still Paying Dues DVD, you're wearing the Deftones Sacto Windbreaker.
Oh, nice.
And he bought one after seeing that on eBay back in like 2002. So you're moving Deftones units. Yeah, he inspired him.
Oh, bro, for sure, man. Yeah. It's so funny. I rock Deftones stuff all the time, and I'll do like I'm in a picture on, you know, whatever, and then someone will comment, you know, and they'll say, "Oh, dude, Deftones, that's what's up, dude." You know, I'm just stoked, like representing. I'm like, heck yeah, dude. I love the Deftones, man.
So have Chino Venmo you a dollar or two for that, that purchase too.
As I work it on commissions. I'll do it. I'll slang it all day.
All right, Sonny, we've had a blast talking with you about the new record coming out. What else are you doing right now? What else is going on in your world?
In the meantime, I mean, last year, you know, we were very selective on our touring just because we knew we'd have a new record coming out and we'd be touring for 2 years. So all we did really last year was just fly out dates, said no to a lot of stuff in preparation for this year. So in with last year, just been able to do a lot of work in my community. It's actually been a little bit over a year. I joined the YMCA board right in the neighborhood I grew up in. So I've been helping out a lot there and kind of learning a lot, you know, but I guess they're the best, you know what I mean? So just learning about these families coming in and all the resources that they provide. And then I started right before COVID, the Sonny Sandoval's Youth the Nation Foundation, with the hopes, and it's still the hopes, the bigger plan is to have my own building similar to the YMCA, if it's just a long story short, but more based on arts and music. You know, there's not every kid is athletic, you know what I mean? And there's superstars out there that are that just need a chance to learn and to discover. Totally. And not only just not to be superstars, but just it's therapeutic, you know what I mean? It's just a whole music and art is a whole another world, you know? So that's my plan. It's a big dream and it's going to cost big money, you know? And so I'm learning how to do that and trying to figure out grants and stuff like that. But in the meantime, we link up with a lot of different local organizations, whether it's school supplies, whether it's music equipment for schools, the juvenile hall down here. I just believe in young people, you know what I mean? And everybody deserves a second chance. And most people deserve a first chance, you know? So for us to do that in my own community has been a true blessing. And it brings me joy, you know, and I know I'm going to be busy with POD, but really in the long run, you know, if POD's done in 5 years, I don't want to be done. You know, I want to continue to do good works. And I think through my foundation, I'll be able to do that. So it's pretty exciting on the potential of where this can go.
Is there anywhere they can find that on the internet?
Yeah, it's Youth of the Nation Foundation. I have the website. I have Instagram, stuff like that. So I'm always putting together little things and doing little stuff. It was just cool. We partnered and we were a part of like a special needs egg hunt. You know what I mean? So we put together this huge thing at the park and all these, you know, special needs families were able to come out and just it's probably one of the best days ever. I've done it for a couple of years now and to see the faces and the families, they're a huge part of our community. So to embrace them like that and to have something completely separate was beautiful, man.
Man, never a dull moment with you. And again, I think that gets down to being genuine, your ethos, it carries through the music, carries through in your personal life. Man. Yeah, it's inspiring, man.
Hey, I appreciate that a lot. Means more than you know, trust me.
I think this is the peak of the day right now for me.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the day won't be as good as this.
It's all downhill.
Until
the top
lunch.
The top of every mountain is the bottom of another, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Nice, man. Nice.
Wow, you've been saving that one?
No, it just came to me. Big brain moment.
He's got it highlighted on his notes right now.
Yeah.
Leave that in. If you had that on your bingo card while you're listening to this, you know, you won.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, Sonny, we'll get you out of here on that. And everything awesome, that man. We talked about will be tagged in the show notes. So get down in there, click on some links. And
yeah man, for sure.
Excited, man. Excited for you guys. Excited for the record. Excited for other people to hear it because we love it.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Yeah, definitely we'll definitely get something going on in your neck of the woods so you guys can come and hang out.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. Man, right on, thank you. Well,
appreciate you guys for sure.
Thank you for listening to Patio Slave. We are at Patio Slave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Patio Slave Podcast. YouTube, Patio Slave Podcast there. Email us at patioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us a dollar, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.